Nine asks, his voice hard. No, no, it wasn't like that. Five answers, hesitating. It wasn't some big battle or brave sacrifice. He just got sick, and after a while he died. He was older, I think, than the way you guys describe your Saipan. He could have passed for my grandfather. I don't think the voyage to Earth was good to him. He was always ill. The warm climate helped some, I guess. We were on this little island in the South Caribbean when it got really bad. I didn't know how to help him. Five trails off. We're all silent, letting him take his time. He wouldn't let me get a doctor. He was too worried that if he was examined, they'd discover something about him, and we'd tip off the Mogadorians. I'd never even seen a Mogadorian. It all seemed like make-believe to me. Five laughs, bitterly, almost as if he's mad at himself. For a while, I even convinced myself he was a crazy man that had kidnapped me, that he cut these scars into my leg while I was sleeping. I try to imagine what life must have been like for Five, never interacting with anyone but a sickly old man. It goes a little ways to explaining why he seems so awkward around the others. It wasn't until my telekinesis developed that I really started to believe Albert. And that's also when he got really sick. On his deathbed, he made me promise that once my legacies had fully developed, I'd try to find you guys. Until then, he made me promise to stay hidden. You did a good job of that, Six says. I'm sorry about Albert, adds Ella. Thank you, Five says. He was a good man, and I wish that I'd listened to him more. After he was gone, it was easy for me to just go through the motions. I kept island hopping, keeping my distance from everyone. It was, lonely, I guess. The days went by in a blur. Eventually, my other legacies developed, and I came to America, hoping to find you guys. What happened to your chest? John asks. Oh, yeah, that, Five replies nervously, scratching the side of his head. I traveled mostly by boat. Albert had taught me to find the kinds of ships that wouldn't, you know, ask too many questions. When I first landed in Florida, there were way more people than I was used to. A lone kid carrying around that damn chest. I felt like everyone was staring at me. Like I'd just found some buried treasure on one of the islands or something. Maybe I was being paranoid, but I thought everyone was looking to steal it. So what did you do with it? John presses. I didn't think it was smart for me to keep carrying it around. I found a secluded spot in the Everglades, and I buried it there. Five looks around at the group. Was that a bad idea? I buried mine for pretty much the same reason, Six answers. When I went back for it, someone had taken it. Oh, Five sputters. Oh, crap. If your chest hiding skills are as good as your regular hiding skills, I'm sure it's still there, Eight says, optimistically. We'll want to get that as soon as possible, John says. Five nods eagerly. Yeah, of course. I remember exactly where I put it. The chests are imperative, my dad blurts out. He pinches the bridge of his nose, which I've noticed he's started doing whenever he's struggling to remember something. Each of the chests contains something. I'm not sure exactly what or how it works, but there are items in those chests that will help you reconnect with Lorien when the time comes. Everyone's staring raptly at him now. How do you know that? John asks. I just remembered, my dad replies. Nine looks over at me, then back to my dad. What? I suppose it's time for my story now, he says, staring at all the expectant faces. I should warn you that there are gaps in my memories. The Mogadorians did something to me. They tried to tear what I knew out of my brain. Things are coming back to me now, in pieces. I'll tell you what I can.
But how did you find that out in the first place? Eight asks. We don't even really understand what's in our chests.
My dad pauses, looking around at the group. I know, because Pittacus Lore told me. Chapter 17. You could hear a pin drop. John is the first to speak.
How did he tell you? What do you mean?
He
told me in person, my dad replies. You're telling us you met Pittacus Lore? Exclaims a skeptical nine. How is that possible? Marina asks. We found a skeleton in your workshop, wearing a Lorik pendant. John swallows hard before continuing. Was that him? My dad lowers his gaze.
I'm afraid so. When he arrived, his wounds were so grievous that there was nothing I could do for him.
Now the questions come on in a rush. What did he tell you? How did he get to Earth? Why did he pick you? Did you know Johnny thinks he's Pittacus resurrected? My dad motions downward with his hands, like a conductor when he's trying to quiet a noisy orchestra. He looks exhilarated by all the questions, and simultaneously like he's struggling to remember the answers.
I don't know why I was chosen out of all of Earth's population, my dad explains. I was an astronomer. My particular area of interest was in deep space, specifically with trying to make contact with alien life forms. I believed that there were signs here on Earth of visitation from aliens, which didn't exactly make me popular with some of my less imaginative colleagues.
You were right, though, says Eight. The Lorelite is here. Those cave paintings we found in India.
Exactly, continues my dad. Most of my peers in the scientific community dismissed me as a madman. I suppose I must have seemed like one, ranting on about extraterrestrial visitors.
He glances around.
And yet, here you are.
Thanks for the resume, interrupts Nine. But can we get to the Pittacus part? My dad smiles.
I had begun sending communication bursts into space from my laboratory using radio waves. I believed I was onto something. This was on my own time. I'd been, dismissed, I suppose, from my position at the university.
I kind of remember that, I say. Mom was pissed.
I don't know what I was expecting from my experiments. A response, certainly. Perhaps a burst of alien music, or images of a strange galaxy.
My dad snorts, shaking his head at how unprepared he was.
I got more than I bargained for. One night, a man showed up at my door. He was wounded and rambling. At first, I mistook him for a crackpot or a vagrant. And then, before my very eyes, he grew.
Taller? Six asks, an eyebrow raised. My dad chuckles.
Indeed. It doesn't seem like much now, considering all I've seen, but it was the first time I'd seen a legacy at work. I wish I could say that I reacted with proper scientific curiosity, but instead I think I did a fair bit of screaming.
I nod. Sounds like the good way. A guard on Earth, breathes Marina. Who was he?
He called himself Pittacus Lore.
Nine scoffs and shoots John a look. Everyone thinks they're Pittacus. You're saying you met an elder? John says, ignoring Nine. Or someone claiming to be an elder. What did he look like? What did he say? Ella asks.
First, he told me that his injuries were caused by a hostile alien race that would soon be coming to Earth. He told me he would not survive the night, and
he wasn't wrong. My dad closes his eyes, willing his brain to work.
Pittacus told me much in the short time he had left, but I'm afraid the details are fuzzy. He asked me to prepare a group of humans to receive you, to help your Sapons get on the run, to provide guidance. I was the first of the greeters.
What else did he tell you? John asks, sitting forward eagerly.
One thing I remember is about your chests, the inheritances. He told me they would each contain something. He called them Phoenix Stones, I think, taken from the heart of Lorien. Although he called them stones, I don't think we need to take that literally. The Phoenix Stones could come in any shape or form. And when restored to your planet, these items should jumpstart the ecosystem. I believe, right now, you are in possession of the tools to bring your homeworld back to life.
Marina and Eight exchange an excited look. perhaps thinking about that lush Lorien that John's always going on about.
But what about the chests we've already lost? Six asks. I thought the contents were destroyed when their guard dies.
My dad shakes his head. I'm sorry, I don't have an answer to that. I can only hope that what remains of your inheritance will be enough.
Look, restoring Lorien is cool and all, Nine says. But I'm not hearing anything that's going to help us kill Mogadorians or protect Earth.
My Sepan told me each of us would inherit the legacies of an elder, Eight says. I always thought I was Pittacus, but...
He glances over at John, then shrugs.
Did he tell you anything about that?
No,
my dad replies.
At least not that I can remember right now. When your Sepan said you'd inherit the legacies of an elder, he might not have been speaking literally. It could have been a metaphor for the roles you will grow up to take on in a rebuilt Lorien society. It can't be as simple as you becoming the elders, because three of you are already lost. And Ella's presence here seems to indicate that nothing is so cut and dry.
So we're just as in the dark as we were before, Six says curtly, then looks over at me. Not that it isn't an interesting story.
Hold on, says John, still mulling over what my dad said.
There's definitely information we can use. The chests, for instance. We need to take an inventory, see if we can figure out which of our items are these Phoenix things.
Probably anything that doesn't stab, shoot, or explode, offers Nine, helpfully.
I'll try to help you there, if I can, my dad offers. Seeing the contents of your chests might jog something in my memory.
What happened to the other greeters? Five asks. Are they still alive?
My dad's expression darkens. Now we're getting to the part of the story that I know something about. Pretty soon we're going to be hitting the whole good Mogadorian saved us from certain death bit. My dad still hasn't given up hope for Adam. He was checking his phone right before dinner. With him not getting in touch for this long, I'm starting to think he didn't make it out. Dead or alive, I'm not really sure how Adam's existence and our involvement with him is going to go over with the guard.
I assembled the greeters myself. They were people I could trust, like-minded scientists, working on the fringes, but I can't remember their names, or even their faces. The Mogadorian saw to that.
My dad picks up his glass of champagne with a shaky hand and takes a quick drink. He makes a bitter face, like it didn't help ease the pain of memory, or lack thereof.
We all knew the risks, my dad continues. Eventually, we took them gladly. It was a chance to be part of something amazing. I still believe that, he says with a note of pride, looking around at the guard. Just as the Mogadorians were searching for you, so were they searching for us. Obviously, we were easier to find. We'd been living on Earth all our lives, you see. We had families. One by one, they tracked us down. They hooked us up to machines, tried to rip out our memories, looking for anything that would help them in their hunt. It's why there are so many things I'm still foggy on. I don't know if the harm they did to me can ever be fixed.
Ella shoots a look at Marina, then John.
Could you guys heal him?
We could try, Marina replies, studying my dad. I've never tried healing someone's mind before, though.
My dad runs a hand across his beard, frowning. I was the only one that survived. I lost years to those bastards.
He looks over at me.
I intend to pay them back.
How did you escape them? John asks.
I had help. The Mogadorians had me sedated for years in a catatonic state, waking me up only when they had a new experiment to run on my mind. Eventually, though, a boy set me free.
A boy? Marina asks, her eyebrow raised. I don't get it, Eight says. How did someone manage to get into a Mo base? Was he one of the government agents? And why did he help you? Before my father can answer, Five speaks up. The way he's eyeballing my dad, it's like he's already pieced together the entire story. He wasn't human, was he? My dad looks first at Five, then over at John before turning his gaze on me. He called himself Adam, but his actual name was Adamus,
He was a Mogadorian.
A Mogadorian helped you?
Marina asks, quietly, as everyone else stares at my dad in stunned silence. Nine stands up, suddenly, looking over at John.
Dude, this has trap written all over it. We have to lock this place down.
John raises a hand, trying to placate Nine. None of the others stand up with Nine, which is a relief. Still, they're looking at each other anxiously, and even though I trust the guard, I'm suddenly worried that they might not trust my dad.
Calm down, John tells Nine. We need the whole story here. Malcolm, what you're saying is pretty crazy.
I know, believe me, he replies. What I learned is that there are two kinds of Mogadorians. Some of them are grown through genetic engineering. They call them Vatborn. I believe they're like the throwaway soldiers you've run into so often. The hideous ones that could never pass for human. They're bred simply for killing. And then there are others. They call themselves Trueborn. They are the ruling class. Adam was one of them. The son of a Mogadorian general.
Interesting, 8 says. I've never thought of how their society works.
Who cares? Growls 9.
He's standing with his hands on the back of his chair, like he's ready to fling it. Get to the part that proves this isn't some Mogadorian setup.
They experimented on Adam with the same machines they used on my memory.
My father continues, not deterred by the rising tension.
They had the body of a guard. Number 1, I believe. And they tried to download her memories into him, thinking it would help them find the rest of you.
Her body? Marina says quietly. That's sick.
My dad nods in agreement. It didn't work the way the Mogadorians intended. Exposed to one's memories, I believe Adam developed doubts about his people. He rebelled. In the process, he helped me escape and find Sam.
9 shakes his head. This is the kind of double agent shit they love to pull, he insists. You met this Mo kid?
6 asks me.
Now everyone's looking at me with the same scrutiny they were just using on my dad. I clear my throat, feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was at the Dulce base. He held off a squadron of Moogs while my dad and I escaped.
My dad frowns, looking down at the table. I fear he didn't survive the battle.
Well, that's a relief, grumbles 9,
finally retaking his seat.
There's something else, I say, glancing hesitantly at my father, wondering exactly how I should phrase this next revelation.
What is it, Sam?
John asks.
During the fight, he made the ground shake. It was like he had a legacy.
Bullshit on top of bullshit,
snorts 9.
It's true, counters my dad. I forgot about that. Something happened to him during the experiment.
Ella speaks up, a note of fear in her voice. Is that true? They can steal our powers?
I don't think he stole the legacy, my dad clarifies. He said it was a gift from the Lorik.
8 looks around.
You guys remember giving any Mogadorians gifts?
John folds his arms across his chest.
It doesn't seem like it should be possible.
I'm sorry this news upsets you, my dad says, looking around. I wanted to tell you everything, even the unpleasant details.
Is it really that bad? Asks Marina. I mean, if one of the Mogadorians could understand they're doing wrong, wouldn't others...
You want to count on them getting sympathetic now?
Snaps 9.
And Marina stops talking.
Something occurs to me then. Maybe because we'd spent so much time talking about how the guard developed their legacies, and listening to my dad's new details on their home world.
Your legacies come from Lorien, right?
That's what Henri told me,
John says.
Katarina, too,
adds 6.
So, if that's the case, it doesn't seem like something that could just be ripped away by some Moog technology. I mean, if they could do that, they'd have stolen more powers from Lorien by now, right?
What are you saying? John asks, his eyebrows raised.
Well, I guess I'm saying, what if Adam inherited that legacy because one wanted him to?
On one side of me, Nine snorts derisively.